You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday. Hello, Polished Women. We are now on our new version of our Polished Woman, The Polished Woman Show, The Polished Woman Podcast Show. And I'm really excited to have our very first guest for today. She's a close friend of mine, very close, like a family, in fact. And I've known this girl for like woman for like years and years and years. And her parents are, I really am so glad she's from my country, from the Philippines, flew here to be with us on the Polished Woman Show. So basically now on our Polished Woman, we all know that the Polished Woman is a confident woman. She's resilient. And, you know, for our topic for today, it's about finding beauty and hope and peace, you know, from your brokenness. What is that, you know, what is, if you are a broken person, and all of us have traumas in our life, but you know what, that's not an excuse for us to not thrive in life, to not be resilient. And this is an example. This person, our guest for today, is a good example of resilience. And, you know, just really finding beauty and peace and hope, you know, from her brokenness. And she will tell us her story. And our quote for today, I don't forget this, people do. And I think I'm also one example. So loss is something that we've all experienced in some way or another. And some of us are actually more than most, especially in the last year or so because of the pandemic. Just a lot of us have been really affected. And for some reason, there are people who didn't take it well, but there are also some people who took it really well and found beauty in it. So our guest for today, a good friend of mine, she's the first lady of the Philippines in Manila. Hello, come.
Hi, my Jess. Dear friend.
So good to see you.
It's been so long. It's been so long.
Flew from the Philippines.
Yeah, this is my sister Jessica.
Yeah, hey, Shields. Okay, can we cheers first?
Yes, of course, of course. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And then, our place. This is where we're going to end up with our Polished Woman. We just actually reassessed it and this is fairly new, and you are our first guest.
It's an honor and privilege. And Jess, really, thank you for having me. Such an honor to be here.
I know. Okay. As we all know, when we start our show, I want to start with our guest's testimony. What is her story? And I know all of you want to hear every single woman's story. So what is your story, Sheila?
Okay, pretty much I'm just a regular woman like everybody else. Okay, mm-hmm. Back in Manila, I'm not exactly a housewife. I do work. We have our own taxi business. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of branches of our own gas station. Mm-hmm. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. My husband is a politician. He's actually a congressman in our own district in Metro Manila. Mm-hmm. And what else do I do? So pretty much about more than just work. I love to cook. In fact, during the pandemic, unfortunately, my taxi business was very much affected by the pandemic because no one would go out, no one would be riding cabs, no one was allowed to ride a public transportation. So I had to find other ways to help my husband. I opened, I like to cook, so I called it Sheila's Happy Kitchen. So I like to sell all sorts of beef, vegetables. Pasta is actually my forte. But you know, Jess, there's a story of why I called it Sheila's Happy Kitchen. Mm-hmm. It was something, I went through this really, really tough times with my son, which I will share later on. Mm-hmm. And, well, my kitchen became so sad. So it was where my memories were built really, truly with my son. So eventually my kitchen was really so gloomy and all that. And the kitchen where it was, we began bringing back all the memories. So I still do it actually now until today from time to time. Mm-hmm. Although the pandemic is getting better, mm-hmm. I still do cook and accept orders from time to time. But it's not really my main focus anymore. That's why I'm here. I found time to visit you.
Oh my God, that's so good. So what really happens, if it's okay for you to share to our audience? Because I know that a lot of people actually went through that. And I went through it as well. I know. And a lot of moms are also suffering. I actually am close to somebody who actually had her son almost, you know, committed suicide. And but now he's on the verge of, he actually went through the verge of like really doing it, and then finally, you know, finding recovering from it. And I was on the verge, you know, doing well. Gosh, I felt like really dark.
Right.
But if I didn't have the Holy Spirit, if I didn't have God, I would have done something.
Right.
But then again, I know somehow because of that darkness that went, that, you know, that is around me, I was like, okay, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, am I going to deal with this whole darkness or fight and, get through that darkness?
Yeah. Because the thing is, Jess, I believe that when you are going through darkness or suffering from extreme pain, mm-hmm. you totally don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You really think think it's really the end of everything.
Yeah, right? I was just telling you, I was just actually telling you the other day that, for example, now I'm talking to you, right? Okay, I can see you, and then all of a sudden, like, it would be dark.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, I'm not hearing you, what you're telling me.
You're not here anymore.
All I see is that, sure, you know, Renzo went through that stuff. Yes. But then again, that's why it's hard. If you don't talk to anybody, if you don't share, somehow my husband's being overly codependent helped me. Because he's always around me.
Right.
You know, and if this is what I want to share with people, that if... That's why your kids need you, like, to be there all the time.
Absolutely.
Because if David was not beside me and not being codependent, I wouldn't have done something.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But because he was there, that I had to, like, okay, I'm not feeling well. This is what I'm feeling now.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Right.
Okay.
So let me share just, you know, back then when I was still in high school, I've always told myself, I remember I was only 15, I told myself, one day I'm going to get married and I'm going to have 5 kids. Mm-hmm. You know, while all my friends were saying, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a president, I'm going to be a lawyer, accountant, CPA, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't dream, I don't belittle the dream of a housewife, I actually don't. But I didn't dream that big for myself either.
Yeah.
I really just wanted to be a wife and a mom. Mm-hmm. So I told myself, one day I'm going to get a boyfriend, and my first boyfriend, I'm going to marry him. Guess what, Jess? My husband is my first boyfriend.
Really?
Bong is my first boyfriend. Yeah.
Didn't try any other guy?
But I should have.
No, you should have.
When I met my husband, of course, I was dating different men.
Yeah.
You know, I had all these options in life. Mm-hmm. But when I finally met this man, he was so driven. He had all these ambitions. And I thought, hey, we're a perfect combination. Mm-hmm. He'll do all the job in bringing the finances to the house, mm-hmm. and I will be the one to raise my family.
And remember, they started, ladies, they started with nothing.
Yeah.
They started with, right?
Yes,
remember?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember I was looking at the certain lipstick in a department store. It was such a cheap brand, $7, Jess.
Yeah.
I couldn't even afford it. It was so horrible.
Oh,
you know, I had my in-laws, they were shopping left and right, and I couldn't even afford something like that because we were struggling. The taxi business that we started in came with a huge debt to pay. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I remember when my husband was still in law school, he wanted to be a lawyer. The reason why he wanted to be a lawyer was because he wanted to be a lawmaker one day.
Wow.
It wasn't because he wanted to be a lawyer and defend people. It was precisely because he always believed that those who have less in life deserve more in terms of law. And there's no way you can be a lawmaker until you know the law of your country, right?
Yes.
So I remember he was getting ready to take the bar exams. He was studying and I was jumping on the sofa. You know, like a little child, I was just 21, I was playing.
I know the story.
Yeah, and I said to him, sure, one day, you're going to make it, you're going to be this big lawyer.
Yeah.
I want to have 5 kids.
Yeah.
And I remember, because my husband wasn't rich either, and he just looked at me and said, how do you plan to feed the 5 kids? And I said, I don't know, that's your problem. But I want to have 5 kids.
That.
Yeah, I didn't know what he even said. Yeah. 5 kids, right. I swear he made a face. And you know what I said? Well, it doesn't have to be you. I'm going to find someone who'll cooperate with me in making the 5 kids. But I knew what I wanted.
Wow.
Jess, I have 5 kids today. I made it. Mm-hmm. I made it. I have a very good looking husband who is driven. We did well. We started with one gas station. Today we actually have 85 branches of gas stations.
Yes.
we started with 30 rundown cabs, like secondhand rundown cabs. Mm-hmm. We have 500 cabs today, debt-free. I mean, praise God for all the blessings He has given us. Because yeah. I remember telling God, He came one night and He said, "Get married." And you know, I come from a good family. Yes. My mom doesn't even work. My dad just, you know, she wakes up, she goes to the parlor, yeah. plays tennis with her friend. You know, it's such a great life that my dad provides for her. So yeah. I thought,
that's
I could have
life.
A life like
yeah.
that too.
Yeah.
But my husband's like, I'm not like her dad, okay? So what's your plan? I said, "None. I'm going to be a housewife." And he said, "No, you need to work and help me. Because if you think that there is a lot of money in politics,
yes.
we're both going to die a pauper." So yes. I got scared because, as I said, I come from a good family.
Yes.
No way am I going to die in the streets, right?
Yes.
So that's how we started our taxi business, et cetera,
wow.
et cetera. So now when I tell people, do you actually believe in forever or
yes.
meeting the man of your dreams?
Yes.
And I will share, yeah, you should. You should. There is a forever out there because mm-hmm. it happened to me. So I met the man of my dreams,
mm-hmm.
and I have 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
The best part is God provided for the needs of my children.
Yes.
Because I told God, I'm going to the corporate world. He gave
yes.
me my own business where I can, you know,
work
go to work
home.
Anytime,
yeah,
or from home, whatever.
Home. Yeah.
So imagine the perfect life I had, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
I had my dream husband, my kids, my house that I built. One day, I was in a supermarket doing errands for my kids. Life looked so perfect. I picked up a call. And my nanny at home, one of my helpers, screaming. She's like, "Mom, you gotta come home. You gotta come home now, now." I'm like, "Why are you even yelling at me? Mom, now, it's Renzo. She was screaming and screaming. And I said, "What happened? What happened to Renzo?" And she just went on. She wouldn't say anything. She just said, "You gotta come home now. Mom, there's no time. There's no time." I said, "What happened?" But she wouldn't say anything. So I was just thinking, you know, if there was an accident or there was a fight, something, she would have said it. Wouldn't utter a word. So I said, "Is he still breathing?" Just what else was I supposed to think of, right?
Yeah.
And she said, "No." That was when I really cried. I cried. I was inside my van. And I remember, you know how vans are, there's like a huge
yes.
space, right?
Yes.
But I remember I pulled my chair and moved my chair backwards to create, totally backwards
yeah.
to create a space around me. I went down on my knees in the van and I didn't even care what the driver would say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put my hands up in the air and I said, "God, no." Sorry. Yeah, I just said, "God, don't do this to me. I've always been an obedient servant of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my children close to my family to you. Every single thing you've ever asked of me, I did it. I was so faithful to you. Don't do this to me."
Yeah.
And I told God, "You've raised Lazarus from the dead before. You can do it again."
Yeah.
So I was just like, it's not like I was talking to myself. I was really yelling in the car and I said, "When I come home, I'm going to see my son. Maybe not well. He could be so unwell. He probably is in a coma. I don't know if it's going to take me 10, 20, 30 years to get him alive. But he's got to be breathing." So imagine, just every single thing I asked for from God, He gave it. He gave my husband, my children, my business, my dream house, everything He gave. So I knew He was going to keep my son alive. I just knew He wouldn't fail me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a dead body. Yeah. And I was just yelling at him. I was so angry. And I said, "This is your time to prove to me that you are real. That you come down here and get my son breathing." I waited and I waited. And I was just looking at my son. And Obviously,
yeah.
God didn't come down, right? So, yes, I lost my son to a mental health problem. He died by suicide. My son is, he likes to do sports. He was always into sports ever since before, and he liked to shoot. You know how mothers are? I'm sure if your son came to you and told you, "I want to shoot," I'm sure
yeah.
the answer is no, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no guns
yes.
in the house.
Yes.
But it's a dream sport of my husband, but he just couldn't afford it when he was young.
Yeah.
So when my son said he went to the gun, because we have children there, yes. His sisters are there. And he has always obliged himself to not bring in the gun. We would watch him in shooting practices. He would clean his gun, put it back in the locker. Apparently, we found out he brought it home that evening and took his life away. I struggled. Recently, you know, with Olivia, I wanted to share with you how God is so angry. I was talking to him like as if he was a driver, like he is our God. But I was so angry. I was telling him, I'm getting so much crowd in the wake of my son because my husband is a politician. Yes. We were getting all the influential people to come every single night. And I told God, you see this crowd? Mm-hmm. I'm going to double, triple this crowd on my last night, and I'm going to give not a eulogy on my son, I'm going to leave that up to my kids, but I'm going to give a full-blown testimony that you are not real, that you are a fake and a phony. And I was going to tell the public that one day your bubble is going to pop just like mine, and you're going to realize there is no God. Because look what he did to me, a faithful servant. I mean, there's so many bad people out there, rapists, people, men who molest, thieves, yeah. Crooks, why don't you do it to them? You have to me. It's so funny, Jess. I have this prayer partner. Her name is Chai. She came to the wake that night that I was supposed to get my eulogy, and she said, hey, guess who sent me here? Mm-hmm. I was so angry. I said, who? She said, God. Oh, you must. Did you come in a chopper? Did he charter you in a plane? Yeah. I was so sarcastic because I was so angry. I mean, he's really.
Angry.
I said, if it's really God, did he charter you with private plane? She's like, hey, stop. No, I'm not going to stop. This is a battle between me and God, and he's going to get it from me. And she said, Shields, he sent me here. And I said, why would you even say that? And she said, have you ever tried riding Uber? Or in our country, it's not called Uber, it's called Grab. Yeah. It's a another public transportation. Yeah. And I said, no, I own taxis. Why would I even ride such kind of car? Because I was so angry. Yeah. It's so much pride. And she said, well, I called Grab, and guess what late number of the car? The number was God 529. I actually have a photo of it in my phone. I just couldn't find it.
Yes.
It says God 529. I said, I have so many cabs, and I can most likely get another plate number with the word God. That's for sure. She said, no, Shields.
Yeah.
There is a meaning to the 529, mm-hmm. because I used a concordance Bible. Mm-hmm. I said, what's that? It's not a regular Bible. Apparently, Concordance Bible is what the priests in Catholic use when they are studying the Word of God. In fact, in the Vatican, that's the kind of Bible that they use. She said, I went through the Concordance Bible and I Googled, I checked the meaning of 529 in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And in Greek, rather. In Greek, it means faithful. So G-O-D, 529, plate number, means God is faithful. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm a good person. He took my son away without showing sense. She said, yeah, because God doesn't make sense. That's the truth. I mean, if we always understood God, then we're God too. Yes. But we're not, so we cannot always understand his ways. Mm-hmm. Then she said, but there is a Hebrew meaning to 529. I said, so what's the Hebrew meaning? And she said, the Hebrew meaning is the reception of a newly arrived official in the kingdom of heaven. So God 529 means God meets a newly arrived official in the kingdom of heaven. He called my son an official. He's not just a regular kid in the block.
So he's
in heaven.
He's in heaven.
In fact, my friend was saying, what the hell is your problem that you're so angry at God? You were always praying for your family to be in heaven one day. You were always praying, not for money to come in, not for richness on earth to flow in your life, but for your children to make it to heaven one day. So you're so sick, you're always after that. He was suffering from so much pain. And I was still in denial. I said, that message is not for me. Yeah. Because she really showed it to me. I'll look for it later. I'm going to show it to you. And she said, this message is for you.
Why? Because every time you call Uber or Grab, any kind of car can pick you up.
Yes.
It could be a Toyota, a Sentra, a Honda. I don't know, a Rolls Royce, could be any car. But what are the odds that the car that would pick me up would be a Suzuki?
And what are the odds that she actually looked at the plate
number?
Because normally when you get a Grab, you don't look at the plate number.
No, but Jess, I will show you the car. She took a photo.
Yeah.
Because it's a Suzuki, the front of the car was a big letter S. S for Sheila, S for Sundai. And then below the plate number was another S because it's a Suzuki.
Yes.
She said, isn't this the political font and the political color of your
husband?
Years? Months is May. 29 minus 5 is 24. That's Renzo's birthday, May 24. Now tell me this message isn't for you. Oh, Jess, I cried. I went down on my knees and I said, thank you, Jesus, for taking my son. He must have been in so much, I don't know, mental, emotional pain that, because now I'm a mental health advocate. I converted myself. I used to be, well, as I said, I'm a cook. I'm a wife, a housewife. I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a businesswoman. I put everything behind and put it aside. I am currently a mental health advocate because of what happened to my son.
Mm-hmm.
I studied mental health. I work with top-notch doctors in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And I give talks now in different universities. In fact, I even go to the provinces to talk to children. I speak to children 12 to 20 years old. I speak to moms.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, you know, it's funny because every time I post my posters on social media, okay, come join me, I'm giving a talk. My mom friends would say, oh, I'm not your target market. My son doesn't have depression. My daughter is not mentally ill. I always tell them, you don't know that.
You don't know.
You don't
exactly
know that. In fact, Jessica, and to all those watching, be very cautious because before I lost my son to suicide, I lost him on a Friday, Tuesday, just 3 days before I lost him.
Yes.
He called me in the office and he said, Mom, I'm not coming home tonight for dinner. I said, oh, why? I'm going to awake because my friend passed on. I said, who friend? And he gave the name.
Mm-hmm.
Said, oh my God, what happened to him? Mom, he died by suicide. So why? He's so young. So I said, no, you come home tonight. We're going to have a talk. And then you go to the wake after.
Okay.
Jess, we were talking. I hope, you know, the suicide is getting too real. It's happening everywhere. And now it's happening to your friend.
Yeah.
It's getting closer to us. I hope none of you kids are going through that or thinking of doing that to yourselves or hurting yourselves. Because if you have problems in life,
mm-hmm.
we parents are here to help you go through your challenges in
yes.
life. Now, after we solve your problem, I can assure you the next day when you wake up, you will have another problem because that's part of life.
Exactly.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
We're here. You have friends. We have family.
Mm-hmm.
And you are strong enough to go through it.
Yes.
You know what you said? Jeez, Mom, we've been talking for 30 minutes. What the hell? Do I look like I'm going to go through suicide? Oh, come on. You got to be kidding, Mom. And he would roll his eyes up. That's why I always tell the parents, you don't know because they are never going to tell you.
Never.
Robin Williams, Marilyn Monroe, who's this famous chef? Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain.
Nobody saw it coming. Especially Robin Williams. Come on, he's so funny. I mean, he's always so happy. He actually makes people laugh. Whoever thought he was suffering so much inside? And when you ask them, they're never going to say, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I'm okay. That's why we need to, I always tell teenagers today, when you feel that your friend is suffering from depression, go a step further. Even when they say they're okay, tell them, hey, let's grab a drink.
Sheila, tell me, you know, for all the moms and women out there, what are the signs? Have you noticed anything?
Okay, because I did
because
not...
Because it's hard. It's
yes.
also hard. Like, okay, you're seeing your kids every
day. Every
day. You talk to them, as if nothing happened.
And you know, just not just that. You know, I'm a very cool mom.
Yeah.
In fact, I always tell my kids, you want a drink? I mean, you're so stressed with school.
Yeah.
Let's grab a drink.
Yeah.
And then before I know, I'm more drunk than them.
I
really do that because I like it that they open up with me. I want to be friends with your friends. I want to be able to go down and relate to them.
I think that's how Filipinos are.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's the way to do it. But you see... Okay, going back to the signs. Yes, there were signs. But because I did not know mental health, I did not consider them signs. Number one.
Because back also in our country, we have that stigma, right? We have
that
whole
stigma.
Thing that if you
You're crazy.
I think that's the reason why he took his life. He was too scared to say, I'm feeling abnormal. And this is not... I'm going through something that I cannot explain. And you're a man. You're not supposed... I think in the Philippines,
yes.
They feel, hey, you're a man. You're not supposed to feel that way.
Yeah.
But who cares, Jess? Men should cry. I don't believe that I'm a man. I shouldn't cry. What's wrong with that if you cry?
Yeah.
Or I'm a man. I shouldn't show that I'm so in love with my wife. The wife should be the one who keeps posting me.
Yes.
No, it's a stigma. It's pride. It's the embarrassment. Mm-hmm. Should be. It's not.
Oh yes, everyone's taking. Everyone's
taking medications.
It's not a big deal. But you know, it started with the same thing. Just like in the Philippines, it started like hiding it. You know,
right.
I'm not seeing any therapist. But now we're like super open. Like I literally tell everyone that I'm like, okay, I'm seeing a therapist. I take medications.
Right.
And I'm
it's
like about to
deal.
Take off it, but it's not a big deal.
And in Manila, the fact that you're taking medication for your mental health, they think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Or when you say, hey, I have bipolar. In fact, Jess, I have, in my company, we have bipolars, we have narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
They perform so well. Yeah. You'll be amazed. But they are under medication.
Yeah.
I think having a mental illness is just like having a heart disease or any mental condition.
Yeah.
And, you know, I speak this truth everywhere I go because I want people who are suffering from depression to know that they are dead. And I just try to want to stand up for others.
I love that.
So I think we should, you know, to all of you out there, join me in being the loud voice in this silent epidemic.
That's so true.
This has got to stop.
So what are the signs she is?
Okay, with my son, in the last 2 weeks before I lost him, mm-hmm. he was isolating already. Apparently, it's a strong sign. He didn't want to join us for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to drink with us anymore. He kept canceling plans. But I didn't, as I said, I didn't know mental health. I didn't take it as a sign. Because it was exam week.
Okay.
I thought he was like tired, he just needed to study. I took it, but when you look at it, it was very consistent. He was canceling plans left and right. In fact, the night that he passed on, he was supposed to be with his ex-girlfriend. They were getting back together. He didn't show up. He just didn't pick her up. He didn't call him. Nothing. He just isolated. A strong isolation signs should be considered. Number two, in the 12... apparently, he was suffering from a mental illness for 2 years already. Just, I didn't know. Would you believe? He would tell his friends, I think I want to take my life away, or I think I'm suffering from depression. But the friends took it lightly. You know how it's like when you go to a movie, oh, I got so depressed, I feel so sad. They thought it was just something like that. That's why I tell people, don't take the word depression too lightly.
Yeah.
Use it in the right context.
Okay.
So, another sign. In the 8 to 12 months of his last months on earth, I caught him 3 times falling asleep, sweating like profusely. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said, I told the doctor, you know, sometimes when I'm so tired, I fall asleep and I'm also sweating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor said, but you wake up when you're sweating, right? Because you do wake up.
Yes.
And then you turn on the aircon. This kid would be really wet backward and he's still sleeping. You know what? Oh my God, goodness.
Why is that?
The doctor said, have you ever experienced having a fight with your husband?
Okay.
And then you're fighting, but you need to pretend to be okay because you're going to a wedding or a party. Then you have to pretend you're okay, but you're not.
Yes.
That's a very difficult situation, right? It's
yes.
like, that's how they are.
Because you're keeping it. You're like,
you're trying to be Yeah, you're trying to be decent, but you
decent,
actually want to push him in the corner.
You want to burst.
You want to cry.
Yeah.
That's how they feel. They are pretending to be okay in front of people 24 hours when they are actually not. But they have to be happy. Have to. They have to be happy. They have to be smiling because that's it's what they portray, like Robin Williams.
Yes.
Now, the reason why they're sweating is they are too tired, well, at least in my country, to turn on the aircon. It's really draining that when they go home, they just pass out and sleep. They are so tired pretending to be happy with life. It's mentally and emotionally doing. Just to even pretend for a few hours is so tiring.
Yeah.
Imagine for 24 hours every day they're pretending to be okay. So I remember now the day before he died, he was sweating profusely. Because I was looking for him and his sister said, Mom, he came home already. He said, I didn't see him. Maybe because he was already so tired, he just passed out on his bed.
Yeah.
So I went to his room, he was sweating. So I got the towel, I wiped his back, I was wiping him, then I put, you know, like a baby, you put powder.
Yeah.
So I was putting powder all over him, I turned on the aircon, then I raised the sheets until his waist.
Yeah.
I didn't want to cover him because he was still sweating. But I raised it until here, so in case the aircon gets really cold already, he can easily pull it up. Yeah. The next day I saw him. He was going down the stairs. I was going up. And I said, sweetie pie, you were sweating again last night. Why wouldn't you turn on the aircon? My goodness. Thank God I check on you. I'm such a great mom. What will you do without me? You know, I'm just teasing him. Because I like to play with my children. And normally he would answer, oh, mom, you're so feeling. I can do a lot without you. You know, he'd start playing. This time, he didn't even look at me. He was just going down. I remember that was the last time I saw his name. And I saw his name and I said, baby, are you okay? He didn't even look at me. Just, I'm just tired. He went down. You know my mistake, Jess? I should have said, no, look at me. Are you okay? But it's something you take for granted that, okay, but when you think about it, that's not normal. Your child just goes down, not talk to you, not minding you, and just says, I'm okay, and not even look at you. I should have reached out. I should have said, are you really okay? Talk to me.
Yeah.
But I just let him be. And then the night that I lost him, I remember he came through the kitchen, and I said, hey, sweetie, it's time for dinner. And I remember he said, yeah, okay, I'll join you. But you know the feeling when you're doing something, when you're doing something naughty, you're kind of rushing.
Yeah, you're kind of rushing.
That's how I felt with him. It was kind of rushing.
But you know, it's like a guilt. It's like
But I let it pass. But I saw it. There was something. I just let it pass. I'm checking the CCTV camera in the house. He was actually holding the gun. I just didn't notice it because he passed by my back and he rushed through the staircase. But he was holding his bag already.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there you go, Jess. It's a story of my life. But you know, again, while I was struggling with God for a long time, and it wasn't like I had to change my eulogy.
Yes.
It was now I was telling.
So, your last minute, you had to change
your
eulogy.
I had to change it, and I was telling the world that God allows things. No, I don't think He caused it. Yeah. In fact, I believe just prior to me knowing that my son had passed on, God already found him weeping.
Yeah.
You know, what was he supposed to do? My son is a godly person. I don't even believe when people say, oh, maybe he didn't believe in God, that's why he took his life. That's not true. As I've said, when you have cancer, does that mean you don't believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a heart condition, does that mean you don't believe in God? Just because you're sick doesn't mean you don't believe in God. My son had a mental illness. People say he didn't believe in God. No. His sickness was just like all other people's sickness. When you have migraine, doesn't mean you're not a believer of God. It doesn't follow.
Yeah.
It's just a normal sickness. It's just that people try to set it aside. And they say, oh, maybe he didn't have faith. That's not true. Do you know, on the 40th night of my son, we threw a dinner just to celebrate his new life. We invited his friends to come from school. There was one mom who walked in and said, my name is Mrs. like this and that. I didn't have the chance to thank you during the week. I want to thank you. I said, thank me for what? Do you know that your son brought my son closer to God? When he was alive, that was the last time I saw your son.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a retreat. He sponsored the son of my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when I picked up my son, I saw your son dancing in the retreat, praising Jesus with happy.
Wow.
So much pain. Emotion. You know the pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he probably asked God, God, help me. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
God probably said, are you in pain, son? Take my hand. I'll take you with me. And now he suffers no more. How can I not thank the Lord for taking the pain away? I'm not saying I'm grateful he took my son. As I've said, I may be helping a lot of children right now who are suffering from depression. I may be helping a lot of people who are suicide survivors. I would take my son any time of the day in exchange of all these people I am helping.
Yes.
But this is what it is for me today. And I just want to be grateful to God that, number one, my son's death did not go in vain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day my children are going to look back to the life of their brother, and I don't want them to say, oh, it's just another suicide, because no, it isn't. Their brother started moving. So it had to take his life for others to live. That's how I want to see it. And I want to thank God every single day of my life for bringing purpose to his death. That he allowed me to find peace and purpose in my current brokenness. Because truth to be told, there is beauty in brokenness.
There is beauty in brokenness.
Yes.
And he used you, especially now that you are a public figure and all in the Philippines. And you just travel all over the Philippines. And now you're basically sharing your story to the to the world, you know, and sharing it with us and proving that there is really a beauty in brokenness and that there is, you know, that you can find peace in it.
Absolutely.
You know, it takes time, but it is, as you can say, yes, you are. Yes. You'll always be there.
My husband always says, we are going to take this pain with us until our last breath. I mean, just don't get me wrong. There are days I'm really okay. Like today, I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's just that my being okay is not the same as being okay before.
Yes.
It's never going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a piece of me that's gone. Like, I can't really say half of me is gone, but it's like, you know, when you have five fingers. You lose one finger, you cannot cut steak anymore.
Yeah.
There's no way you can cut or carry a glass. It's not going to be the same. But you're okay. You're still functioning.
Okay. Yeah, you're still functioning.
Yeah.
That's so true. Hey, you have four kids.
Exactly.
Four kids that need you and need your husband.
Absolutely.
I'm really, really proud of you because you and Bob, who actually serves the country, you are still together because I know a lot of... You know, marriages have been broken when as soon as they lose someone. I mean, I'm sure you went through that whole, you know,
problem as well. You know, we were blaming each other.
Yes.
I was telling him, you were barely there for the children. You kept thinking of how to make money. It was always about money. Then he yelled back and he said, okay, fine. I was always trying to make money because I wanted to provide my family with a life I didn't have when I was young.
Right.
If that's a sin to you, then so be it. But what about you? You're just in the house and you didn't even know our son was sick. Oh my gosh! Yes.
Gosh,
I was like,
that's
so
true.
I wanted to throw him out of the... We were fighting every day. And finally that evening, I was just down on the floor. I was crying and crying. And he picked me up and he hugged me and he said, I love you. With all of me, whatever we have together, it was always for you and the kids. Now, there is no manual on how to love children. This is what we know. If it's not enough for them, then there's nothing we can do anymore. But this is just the only thing we know. But just as I said, I don't want to waste to lose a son or a child. Could have been to lose a child in itself is bad enough.
Yes.
But how I lost him tripled the pain.
Yeah.
So I told him, and you had to choose suicide of all the ways. I asked God, is it because I'm a bad person? Because I'm a sinner? What about this? That? And he started pointing fingers. They're worse than me. But you know, God spoke to me, Chess, and he told me. Who even told you it's about you? I took your son not for your glory, but for my glory. This was never about you. It's about me. Because it is really about God. We live not for ourselves, but for him. So he took my son for his purpose, for his glorification, that others may live.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay,
mm-hmm.
but I'm seeing the purpose now. This is what it is. And what I tell myself all the time is that we just have to keep moving forward now. Right?
Yes, I got it. Thank you.
Okay, I know you're kind of in a rush now. Just before we go, I just want to say this to everyone. To all of you out there suffering from depression, any mental illness, any mental disorder, any pain, any emotional pain that you're going through, I can feel your pain because when I lost my son, believe me, I was there. I almost took my life too. I went crazy. I went ballistic. I blamed myself. I saw nothing but darkness. But when I kept my faith and my path with God, I just realized that even the darkest of nights come to an end. And then the sun will rise. Whether you like it or not, the sun is going to rise. So keep going. Keep fighting. Keep moving. Even the stars can't shine without darkness. So we will need darkness once in a while. Right, Jess?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was actually just telling the kids yesterday that there is like a fork. You know, I think this is like I was telling them. There's a fork, right? You're in the middle. There's this fork on the left that's all about like money.
Yes.
You know, fun and everything.
Yes.
You know, the worldly life.
You know, branded things.
Yeah, everything. And then
there's
another one that you can see hills. You can see people crying.
Right.
You can see people, you know, but at the end, you will see darkness on this left. But on this one, you'll see light on the, you know, at the end. So what would you choose?
Right.
Of course, you choose
of course.
The
Take
hard
the right
part.
Path.
It's it's part of life,
right?
But look at you. You're traveling all over and sharing this. I mean, and Renzo is literally happy up there watching you and telling you, Mom, Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
I know. You know, just in losing my boy, I realized the immeasurable value of life. Yeah. He taught me the true meaning of life. And I know one day I'm going to the side. Tell me how he will.
Yeah, he is. He's literally like smiling. He's smiling with God right now.
I know. We're celebrating Christmas with a celebration.
I know. With a real celebration.
How amazing is that, right?
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Sheila. This is such a good first episode.
I hope so. I hope I didn't disappoint you.
Whoa, oh my gosh. Are you kidding? But
cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yeah.
And we celebrate that.
Exactly.
Celebrate love. And I don't want to forget, my Bible verse that I chose for Sheila today and to all of you is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Ah, yeah, 16 to 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this.
Amen.
Right? This is like the 2022. The Polished Woman will have a new format, which is now we're starting. Going forward, we'll be inviting our guests to share not only their testimonies and focusing on the role that faith has played and continues to play in their lives as they grow, create, and become the best versions of themselves. I invite you all to join us for our new year, the Polished Woman podcast show. Thank you, Sheila.
I love you. I love you, Jess. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.